Thank you very much. It's a great honor for me to lecture the joint seminar of KITP and Station Q. I'll be talking about anions in one dimension, about specific model. That's a definition of anions in one dimension, right? This is annihilation operator at some point, creation at the other point. This is extra phase. Pi k is a parameter, epsilon is a sine function, plus minus one, depending on the difference. And so this is definition, it's algebraic, it's not topological. When this parameter chi, kappa equal to zero, this is bosons, evidently. Kappa equal to one, this is fermions. Otherwise, for this is just anions. Parameter kappa will be free parameter changing from 0 to 1. And then there will be some kind of a little bit change at the point kappa equal to 2/3 will be somewhat noticeable at smaller temperatures. When kappa equal to 0, this is bosons, impenetrable bosons, coupling constant. See, the Hamiltonian is non-relativistic Hamiltonian. This is kinetic energy, square of momentum, plus point-like interaction. C, coupling constant strength, will go to infinity, will be infinite repulsion. So for kappa equal to 0, this is impenetrable bosons, which was studied a lot. There is a lot of publications. Among other things, correlation functions were calculated, and then we just follow the same methods which were applied for bosons. Basically, the idea is to describe H's chemical potential due to some reasons. That's strange notation. The idea of description of correlation function to write differential equations. Those differential equations, which I will use in order to describe correlation function, nonlinear PDE, partial differential equation, which are integrable, have Lux representations, and then somehow they can be solved, at least asymptotically, using Riemann-Hilbert problem. And then I just remind all of this program to you in the next transparencies. Anyway, that's the definition, and the Hamiltonian, just specific model. All right, so the first idea is to find eigenfunctions of the Hamiltonian, which was in the present, on the previous transparency. So I take Fock vacuum, which is annihilated by psi, annihilation operator, apply several creation operators. Z is just coordinate, it's not... Z is just real component, it's not a complex number, just strange notation. Z is just a real coordinate. And lambda is momentum. I mean, like normal people denote momentum by k, but I come from those of a background of classical completely integrable differential equations. So in that part of mathematical physics, lambda called spectral parameter. So the notation reminiscent from classical inverse scattering method. Anyway, this chi is a complex valued eigenfunction of the Hamiltonian, which eventually will be presented explicitly on the next transparencies. So this symmetry, since this psi dagger does not commute between one another, when I change the order, I got a phase, then this wave function also has non-trivial symmetry. If I take two positions of two different particles, z sub j and plus one, and exchange their position, I got extra phase. So this is like anionic symmetry of this many-body wave function. This makes it difficult even to impose periodic boundary conditions. Usually people working in stat-mech and condensed-matter impose boundary conditions, periodic boundary condition. Here, periodic boundary conditions look strange. So I can require the wave function to be periodic with respect to the first argument. L length of the box, that's a period. It's a real number which eventually will go to infinity. With respect to the second argument, it will be not quite periodic. I will get extra phase. Next argument, the phase will double, then triple, and so on. The shift of the last argument by L will cause this large phase. So kappa is a parameter of statistics, n is number of particles, number of arguments. So that's the way periodic boundary condition looks for this one-dimensional anions. There is no factor of L because it's just statistical phase, right? Well, they apply my rule. Yeah. You mean this rule?
Yeah.
Well, epsilon is plus minus one, right? Epsilon changed from. Well, see, these phases, I, pi, k, and epsilon changes from minus one to plus one. It changes to, it's a sine function.
Well, that's epsilon of.
Yeah, epsilon of. Oops. That's an argument of the oops. Okay, that's, yes, sorry for unclear notations. Oof, right, so it's plus minus one, so that's, well, it's clarified. That's a strange way periodic boundary condition looks for one-dimensional anions. For infinite repulsion means that the solving constant C go to infinity, impenetrable anions, that's a wave function. So this sum is actually determinant, right? This is summation with respect to permutation, parity of permutation. X is coordinates. Normal people denote this by X. And lambda is momenta, which usually denote by K. So this is a determinant, Slater determinant, like free fermionic wave function. Okay, so this epsilon is a sine function, you remember that. So meaning that if I take the sum multiplied by this epsilon, then all together, this is the magnitude of the determinant, right? So if I change to these, the sign does not change because the determinant changes the sign, but this also changes the sign, so it's magnitude of the determinant. And this is extra factor with extra phase, which take care of the appearance of this extra phase when I exchange position of two anions. So this is explicit expression for impenetrable anions for infinite repulsion. All right, so now I impose those periodic boundary conditions from the previous transparency. Then this implies some equations for momenta. So lambda is momenta, I is square root of minus one, L the length of the box, of periodic box, and then that's the boundary condition. So without last extra phase, that's the exact expression for periodic boundary condition for impenetrable bosons. For fermions, this should be equal to one. For bosons, I know that it's minus one raised to the power number of particles minus one. And I got extra phase. So this looks like twisted boundary condition, but the phase is large. The phase is pi, kappa is a statistic parameter, n is number of particles. So it's twisted boundary condition, but with very large twist, n number of particles will go to infinity eventually. And then, on the other hand, it's still very delicate. I mean, the spectrum will not change. Only correlation functions will depend on the parameter of statistics. The spectrum will be unnoticeable. Anyway, this is periodic boundary conditions. Now, let's go to thermodynamic limit. Thermodynamic limit means that L lengths of the box go to infinity, N number of particles go to infinity, but the ratio is fixed, and the ratio is actually denoted by D, capital, which is density. Oh, strangely enough, everything can be calculated by everything. I mean, partition function. The first thing which was calculated, partition function and thermodynamics. Thermodynamics is expressed in terms of this Fermi weight. So 1 divided by exponent, lambda is momentum. You remember, chemical potential, that's energy of elementary excitation of 1. And then divide by T, Boltzmann constant is equal to 1. So this is Boltzmann weight, this is Fermi weight. And this will play important role further. Maybe just took too much. So if I integrate this Boltzmann weight with respect to momentum, then the total integral is density. Density means N divided by L. The total energy of this state of thermal equilibrium is this Fermi weight multiplied by the square of momentum. So there is some disappointment in this expression because a parameter of statistic doesn't appear anywhere. So we need to find some other observable object which does depend on statistics. So those are correlation functions. Correlation functions at positive temperature defined like this. So in denominator, I have this partition function, which I just described in the previous transparency, tracing the whole Fock space. Minus Hamiltonian from the first transparency divided by the temperature. In numerator, I have the same exponent, annihilation operator and creation operator. I didn't write time here, so first we can calculate time independent, but later I will also introduce time and we shall be able to calculate time dependent correlation function.
Yeah.
Well, for bosons, well, Young and Young describe thermodynamics for bosons with delta interaction, and then when coupling constants go to infinity, everything simplifies, and we get this expression. For fermions, remember my interaction was point-light interaction. So if I specify anions to fermions, interaction disappear. This is free fermions, and this is just free fermion expression which I can get from the any textbook. Abrikosov, Dzhilashinsky, many other textbooks. So the answer is yes, in short. But now we see that it's still correct for any anions and doesn't depend on the parameter of statistics, which is kind of a disappointment. I mean, we want to see some traces of fractional statistics in measurable expressions. Not in this one, we have to calculate correlation functions. Okay, so this is definition of correlation function, which we discussed already. So it was calculated for impenetrable bosons. And there is some technique, multiple publication, the book published in Cambridge University Press long time ago, 93. The idea is of calculation is something which is called determinant representation. So first of all, I do have explicit expression for eigenfunction of this Hamiltonian. So I can use this explicit expression for eigenfunction in order to integrate this out, which involves solution of complicated problems of algebraic combinatorics, which we did. So something will come out. Something will come out, it's next transparency, it's determinant representation. So I will be able to represent this correlation function as a determinant of some integral operator, which I explain what it is. Integral operator happens, Fredholm integral of specific form. It has a lot of nice properties. And then I proceed. So first integrate it out, and then get determinant representation. What's determinant representation? Here it is. So that's a correlation function form of the which was defined in the previous transparency. And this is determinant. So let me start explanation. This is identical operator. Gamma is the number which depends on the parameter of statistics. That's the only one dependence of the parameter of statistics. The rest of the expression will be independent of chi. Anyway, chi parameter of kappa parameter of statistics goes into gamma. Gamma appears somewhere, but the dependence on statistics go only through gamma. Okay, KT, that's a kernel of KT. Unfortunately, there is a typo, this E plus E minus given by this expression. This is plane wave. And theta, the Fermi weight, which was explained in the previous transparencies, also reminded in the next transparencies. So E plus E minus, unfortunately, this argument should be mu. This is a typo, I apologize for the typo. So it should be E plus E minus E minus E plus. So E plus of lambda, E minus of mu, E minus of lambda, E plus of mu. Only one typo in here. So what's so special about this integral operator? First of all, imagine I don't have denominator. If I don't, then this is very simple integral operator. Actually, it's equivalent to the matrix 2 by 2 because kernel would have been factorizable. But I do have a kernel, this Cauchy kernel. This makes operator not so trivial, but still it's very special. What's so special? Well, for example, what I can try to do, I can try to invert this operator, identity minus gamma k, inverse operator. Inverse operator look very, very similar. All I need to do is replace E by F. So what's F? F is a function which is defined implicitly through this integral equation. So E plus E minus, I understand. K is this kernel where I have to correct the typo. This is definition of F. If I won't be able to solve this explicitly, but I can prove the theorem that solution exists and unique. So you might have it somehow. If I replace E by F, F plus of lambda, F minus of mu, E minus of lambda, I mean, F, all E should be replaced by F, four Fs. Then this expression will give the expression for the inverse operator. So it is very special. And we consider the whole class of this operator with factorizable numerator and with this kernel. And the sum of this operator belongs to the same class, product belongs to the same class, inverse belongs to the same class. So we even invented the word for this specific form of integral operator. We call them completely integrable integral operators. Sounds funny, but that's what we use. Also, I have a very prominent co-authors working on this, Professor Alexander Itz, also Craig Tracy and Widom from Davis, California work on this, and Percy Day from NYU. So, sorry. Later, I will mention the Riemann-Hilbert problem, but this Riemann-Hilbert problem, one can derive directly looking at this integral operator. Just look at this, immediately write the Riemann-Hilbert problem, which will appear eventually. Anyway, this is integral operator. So, no. This is really headache and hard work. In order to derive this, I go through a lot of combinatorics, and we're kind of even proud that we can solve such a complicated problems of combinatorics. Well, it's not obvious to me. You know, there might be younger, more clever people to whom it will become obvious eventually, but not yet. But I knew this because in 1993 I wrote the book about this Boltzmann-Gass with delta interaction. So here, for anyone, I was just repeating the steps. All right, so what's B? I have B. B, I take one E and one F. And this index is plus minus one, this index is another plus minus one. I integrate them together, convolution is B. So B plus plus means that I take E plus, F plus, and integrate them together. Also B plus minus EP, and this B really will be important. So this B, this potential, we call them potential, are important for the people who wants to describe correlation function by means of classical PDE, classical completely integrable PDE. That's a key object, which will be the most simple from the point of view of writing completely integrable PDE. This will be the central object. Anyway, I want to proceed to the next transparency. I'm skipping a lot of details, but there, in that I put the reference into this reference material, into this, what is reference material of wiki page of our conference, and there is a lot of references. I'm skipping a lot of computation, but you will get an idea of what's going on, and then if you want, then you can look further in more details. Okay, maybe too much. All right, so this is integral operator, which, as I explained, appear when I'm trying to invert the operator. But we want to identify this with something else known from the literature. Now I want to enter a different field, which is field of classical completely integrable differential equation, like Sine-Gordon or classical nonlinear Schrodinger, something like this. Yes. Yes, it's like a Gaussian decay, so it's no problem at all. This is very important. I want to identify this with something else. When I grew up in Russia, we were studying this theory of classical completely integrable differential equation. 20 years ago, it was a very popular subject. Tens of books have published. Mark Ablovitz, Focus, Gilfand himself. So those classical completely integrable differential equation, they're based on solution of inverse scattering problem. The inverse scattering problem solved by some integral equation, which is called Gilfand-Levitan integral equation. So I want to identify one look. I want to look at this equation as if this is Gilfand-Levitan equation for some new unknown PDE. That's one person out of those three. That's the old Gilfand, great Russian mathematician. He died, unfortunately. His son works for American Mathematical Society right now. Well, the answer is yes, I guess, in short. So now I think in my mind this become the Gilfand-Levitan equation. Levitan also important, he's a member of Ukrainian Academy of Science, like very important mathematician, mathematical physics. So meaning what, that by now looking at this equation, I want to restore what kind of PDE it corresponds to. So there is a way to do that. There's publication. So the idea of restoration of completely integrable PDE looking at this equation is the following. The right-hand side, this E plus minus, is a really simple function. You remember this theta is explicit elementary function, and dependence on x is very trivial. So if I differentiate with respect to x, lambda will go down. So ddx minus I lambda will annihilate the right-hand side. So I can apply this operator to the right-hand side. The right-hand side will annihilate. In the left-hand side, I can apply this operator to here and work my way through. So the result will be, I will be able to write linear differential equation for f plus f minus. This will be like system of two equations, the column f plus f minus and some matrix 2 by 2. then this theta by itself, it looks complicated, but I know differential operation which annihilates it. If I differentiate with respect to lambda square plus differentiate with respect to h, this will annihilate the right-hand side. So if I apply this dd lambda square plus ddh to the right-hand side, it will annihilate it. I can work my way through and get another differential equation for f plus minus. So those two differential equations, linear, should be compatible. So those two linear operators should commute with one another. This is Lax representation for something which will come out. So what's come out? That's a PDE I was suffering about. So B plus minus is my potentials from the previous. So this is a system of two equations. So I differentiate B plus minus with respect to the temperature. B is actually chemical potential divided by the temperature. So kind of inverse temperature. And I got something made out of B plus plus. If I differentiate with respect to x, b plus minus, I got this. Well, in principle, I can take this equation, differentiate this with respect to x. Then the left-hand side, I will be able to replay, to express by means of b plus plus. But the right-hand side already expressed in b plus plus. So I can get the differential equation for one unknown function. I just switch on, switch off. I don't want the screen to die. So this is nonlinear PDE. It looks very complicated, but it is completely integrable because I derived it from Lax representation. Just the way I derived it from Lax representation, for sure it's integrable. All right. So this is like in this point I become very happy because finally I got PDE, integral PDE, which drives my correlation function, but still I have to restore them. Before we come to correlation functions, let's discuss. First of all, there is no gamma appears here, and no kappa appears here. So the parameter of statistics, anyway, doesn't appear here. So coefficients PDE is the same like I saw for both guys. But differential equation has many solutions. So solutions are specified by initial data. Initial data somehow can restore from the behavior for small x, small separation. And then initial data does depend on this gamma. So dependence on statistics, very delicate. Differential equation doesn't change, but the solution which describes correlation function does change. So it's like very delicate flow. Anyway, this is differential equation, which eventually we shall see drives my correlation function, and the initial data which specify which solution I want. So D is this density, N divided by L. This is Fermi weight, which we discussed, and gamma, once again, depends on the parameter of statistics. All right. So let's go to the next transparency. I look at this differential equation, and remember my correlation function was B plus plus multiplied by the determinant of integral operator. So means that somehow I also have to calculate this thing, sigma. Sigma is the log of the determinant. So what we do, we differentiate this sigma with respect to physical parameters, distance and beta, and the derivative of sigma is b plus minus. So it's good because b plus minus I have under control looking at those PDE. Second derivative is b plus plus square. The beta derivative is complicated, but still can be expressed through b plus minus. So all the factors which appears in the expression for the correlation function, I can express in terms of b plus plus, b plus minus, which are driven by those completely integrable differential equations. So I'm just closing my program, so my program is working through. But then, before solving this equation, we want to play more with the explicit form of differential equation. So somehow we managed to close up differential equation for sigma by itself. Sigma by itself, well, using this expression and the differential equation from the previous transparency, we managed to derive differential equation for sigma by itself. Looks horrible because the term with the highest derivative is squared. So it's like very nonlinear. But on the other hand, it's a closed differential equation for sigma, and it is integrable once again. It has Lax representation, looks horrible, but yet another example of completely integrable PDE. Once again, a parameter of statistic doesn't appear here, but the initial data for small x, I do have dependence on statistics. It's almost. It's chemical potential divided by the temperature, see? I think it's just, no, it's just h divided by t. This is a formal thing. This is a formal thing. It's a very formal thing. Now I pretend that I'm expert in PDE. So let's discuss the differential equation a little bit more before solving this. This differential equation withstands the limit of small temperature. When temperature goes to zero, one of my variables disappear, this beta disappear, but somehow I still manage to see that this differential equation turned into this one. Now prime is x derivative. And this is very famous differential equation. This is Penleve 5, which was known long before I started working on this subject. It's Miva, Jimba, Satomori in 1983 wrote the paper. This is very famous PD. Of course, it also appears in random matrices and well known. So for zero temperature, space dependence described by Penleve, which once again, Penleve by itself doesn't, all the coefficient doesn't depend on kappa, but initial data does depend on the parameter statistics. Okay, so this is enough for differential equations. Differential equations, in my view, are very fancy and nice, but now we have to solve them. I mean, they're solvable equations, but the majority of solutions are not elementary functions. So they're solvable in the sense that I can solve connection problem. Connection problem means that I will be able to calculate asymptotics at small distance and at large distance. And I'm sure that this is asymptotic of the same function of the same solution. But in between, this is some transcendental function, which I'm incapable of describing in terms of elementary functions. Once again, now we're deep in the area of classical completely integrable differential equation. And once again, there are tens of books. And the Gelfand-Levitan equation is very useful. On the other hand, modern way to do this is the Riemann-Hilbert problem. So what's Riemann-Hilbert problem? I just remind to you. It comes to 18th century. Cauchy studied this analytical function, which is analytical almost everywhere except possible singularities at some points. And Riemann and Hilbert decided to generalize this. So they wanted to consider the function. Well, my function will be kappa. It's actually matrix function, matrix 2 by 2. And lambda is those complex parameters which go through the complex plane. So Riemann and Hilbert, they want to consider analytical function, which is analytical almost everywhere in the whole complex plane, except of a contour. And there is prescribed jump across the contour. It's a worse singularity. It's not a cut of, it's just worse than that. But that's the Riemann-Hilbert problem. We're given the jump, we suppose we request to construct this analytical function. And that's the Riemann-Hilbert problem. In the case, if I consider one analytical function, it can be solved analytically. Well, sometimes it's not solvable. Sometimes solutions don't exist. But this question fully clarified. There is something which is called indices. If all indices of Riemann-Hilbert are equal to zero, then there is a solution. Then there is a big problem of whether the solution is unique or not unique, also solved and settled. In this case, when solution exists and unique for one analytical function, there's explicit solution of Riemann-Hilbert. So I know the jump function which describes the jump across the prescribed contour. I will be able to restore this function, which is analytical outside of the contour and has prescribed jump. Not so for matrix function. It's the function which I want to satisfy Riemann-Hilbert problem matrix 2 by 2. Matrices don't commute, so everything becomes more difficult. So there is no analytical solution, but still it's very useful for analysis of asymptotics of this completely integrable differential equation. So kappa is auxiliary object, which didn't appear yet. So it's matrix 2 by 2. It's analytical function of lambda, which is complex parameters. It's analytical upstairs in the upper half plane and lower half plane. Has a prescribed jump on the real axis. So limit from below equal to the limit from above multiplied by this jump function. Jump function has all the physical information, which was I mean, in the end of the day, I'm trying to calculate correlation function, which depends on space and temperature. So these functions E plus minus, which appeared in my determinant, appears in this jump function. Jump function E plus E minus. So all the physical information encoded into this jump function. So this is Riemann-Hilbert problem. Actually, if I write it like this, then solutions will be multiple if they exist, because I can take, assume I have find one solution, I can multiply it by some polynomial of lambda, will satisfy still. I don't want this arbitrariness, so I, following great mathematicians, impose a normalization condition which say that at large lambda, this matrix 2 by 2 should turn into identical matrix 2 by 2. Then I won't be able to multiply by those polynomial. Anyway, and also solution for this specific Riemann-Hilbert problem exists. And once again, this Riemann-Hilbert problem can be restored immediately after I obtain my determinant representation. If I got this k of the specific form, factorized numerator divided by denominator, I can immediately. And this kernel is actually very special, right? This is an identical operator, and the matrix, which I add to identical operator, is actually one-dimensional projector. Identical operator plus one-dimensional projector. The addition, the thing which I add to it is determinant equal to zero system, very, very special. That's the reason of all of these miracles which happens. Okay, so Riemann-Hilbert problem by now is a standard way of solving this completely integrable differential equation. Solving means calculating asymptotics at large distance. So how I relate this to my previous differential equations? I can relate them in the following way. Solution of this Riemann-Hilbert problem, assume I solve it somehow. Then what I can do, I can consider very large lambda. I can go to infinity in this complex lambda plane. The first term is identity. It's required by normalization. The first correction, 1 divided by lambda, I can calculate all my potentials. Remember, b plus, b minus, they satisfy these differential equations. And then I can restore all of them from solution of Riemann-Hilbert. Can solve Riemann-Hilbert problem, I can solve my PDE. That's the reason why it's interesting. That's the reason why people studying PDE are interested in Riemann-Hilbert problem. It's, let's say, in the upper half plane. In the upper, lambda goes to infinity in the upper half plane, let's say. Okay, so this is so much for mathematical apparatus. We went through all of this, and the details are published in 4 papers, and there is also a book. So I'm skipping all the details. Here it's. So here, Greg, listen, this is conjugation matrix, first of all. It's not chi, it's different objects, right? Chi. Second of all, this is, I can consider the limit of large lambda for conjugation matrix, but all is go to zero very fastly because of the Boltzmann factor in denominator. So this turned into identical matrix very fastly. So at infinity, there's no singularity. So it goes very smooth because it's very, very close to identical matrix. And if I have identical matrix, then I can easily solve Riemann-Hilbert problem. If G is identical matrix, then solution is chi equal to 1. And if it's close to identical, some perturbation works, so it's not a big deal. I want to be close to identical. Okay, so here I just hinted how we analyze this asymptotic. What's the mathematical apparatus of solving this PDE? What's the solution? So still we're trying to calculate correlation function of one-dimensional anions. This is time independent. So this asymptotical behavior, x is large, separation, and then the correlation function decays exponentially. There's also some oscillations. C is something which depends on temperature. B is h divided by t. Parameter of statistics appears here. This factor is kind of nice because especially we kind of like this when we worked on bosons. See, for impenetrable bosons, kappa equal to zero. So this is a ratio of Fermi weight to Bohr weight on the logarithm, which invoke our imagination. We think maybe there is physical meaning. Well, it's kind of continuous to anions. This is kind of a inverse Boltzmann weight for fermions. And I can say maybe this can be considered a Fermi weight for anions. Anyway, this looks like something invoking my imagination from the point of view of physics, of thermodynamics. X go to infinity, space separation, positive infinity. X go to positive infinity. So the rate of decay is a complicated function of temperature and of parameter statistics. Later, next transparency, we shall consider small temperature limit, then C will become linear function of temperature, then it will agree with conformal field theory. So for small temperature, conformal field theory is good. This lambda 1, lambda 0, given by some complicated expression, but you know, that's what came out of Riemann-Hilbert problem. So this is exact, in a sense, it's exact, it's good for all temperatures and good for all parameter of statistics except of free fermions. So let's see what happens for small temperatures. For small temperatures, asymptotic is a little bit different depending on the parameter of statistics. There is one expression. So for small temperatures, correlation decay exponentially the function of x. The rate of the coefficient in front of x is linear temperature. Phi Fermi velocity, parameter of statistics, some oscillations. So nice expression. If kappa parameter of statistics in the different region, closer to fermions, then expression is still nice, exponential decay with respect to the distance, linear temperature, but this expression depends on parameter of statistics a little different. Change, Stokes phenomenon. Okay, so the last thing which we've done is temperature and time dependent. Temperature is time dependent, even more complicated, but still the basic ideas go through. So we take definition of correlation function, derive the determinant representation, like write those PDE, partial differential equation, solve this by Riemann-Hilbert problem. Asymptotics much more complicated, but there is an important factor which present in all expression for asymptotics. So the correlation function decay exponentially. So this is exponent 1 divided by pi integral with respect to the momenta, x minus. This 2 lambda is actually velocity, but this is not Fermi velocity. This is current velocity at the current value of momentum I'm integrating with respect to momentum. And this logarithm, which we already saw from the time-independent case, this is the ratio of this Fermi weight to this, I don't know, weight for anions. This expression decay exponentially with respect to distance and space separation. The rate of decay depends on whether I go to infinity along x line, along timeline, or maybe along the diagonal will be different. It looks complicated. Also, we have prefactors, which look very complicated, but they in those publications, which I include in the reference material. So asymptotics does depend on parameter statistics, which was important thing for us, because once again, at first, when we only calculated partition function, it looks like dependence on the statistics disappear, so it reappears, reemerge back when we consider correlation functions. And then this is also means that transport properties along this one-dimensional chain, one-dimensional age states of fractional quantum Hall effect will depend on the parameter of statistics. That's actually my main answer. I'm skipping a lot of derivation and also even some explicit expression for the answer, but I want to stop here. C, you mean coupling constant? Oh, you mean this C's? See, there, I think we worked on this, and it's difficult to calculate. So these constants, they do depend on some parameters, on temperature and on parameter of statistics that we can figure out, because we can differentiate them and use our differential equation. There is still some remaining absolute constant which depends on nothing. And then, no, all x dependence is explicitly written. This doesn't depend on x. But there is some transcendental number in the end we was unable to calculate. This transcendental number, I mean, Craig Tracy calculated this for Penn-Lever and got some AMS prize for this. I know that they're non-zero because I compare it with numerics, you know. That's a good point, though.
So you touched upon the fact that one can get some contribution of statistical statistics in particles to some observable quantities. I consider
Well, I have a solid state co-author, his name is Averian. So he was considering fractional quantum Hall effect and the system of overlapping antidots. And just we can imagine that one day experimentalists can make a circle. So, and there is a regime when the anions will tunnel. Some regime electrons tunnel, and some there is a specific regime when anions, and then conductance can be calculated, and then it does depend on the parameter statistics. Also, even age state of fractional quantum Hall effect, this will be influenced, and those are important for topological quantum computation because of the gates. So we're working on this.